welcome to our second, actually our second episode of Keeping Life Real and Mental Health 360. My name is Dr. Susan Lindner, and it is my pleasure to be joined today by Daisy and Katie from Bold and Blonde. And before we dig right in and speak to our lovely guests this evening, I just wanted to do a little bit of cleaning up from last session and last podcast that we did. Is I received a few emails saying that I had not offered the phone number. So if anybody wants to call in, please feel free to call in to the show. You can ask myself. Dr. Susan Lindner. I am a licensed clinical psychologist. I am trained in Gestalt psychoanalysis, and I also am a trained practitioner in QHHT, Dolores Cannon, and I'm a level 2 practitioner. So the call-in number for anybody who is interested in calling, it's 888-627-6808. And I will say that a little bit more often during the show. Also, I received some emails with some questions about mental health concerns. So today we're going to be speaking to Kathy and Daisy. And I think what we're going to do is they're going to introduce themselves and tell us a little bit about their fantastic podcast and how that really just seems to be exploding all over the continents. It's just very exciting for the two of you. And it really is my honor and pleasure to have you. And what I'd like to do is if I understand it correctly, without presuming anything, I know that Daisy has an energy focus and a spiritual focus. And I myself, despite being a clinical psychologist, I have the same type of proclivity and I lean that way myself. So it's gonna be very interesting to hear how we can blend through this hour, how we can blend what both of you have to share in terms of your work and what you're putting forward into the world to help others, and how we can blend it together, adding mental health as another piece, you know? So thank you very much. Katie, welcome. I understand that you are in Australia. Is that
accurate? Hi, Susan. Yes, I actually am in Australia. Thanks for having us. It's actually Kathy. I am 49 and have been a single mom, and I'm also a management accountant in my day job, but my passion is helping people. And that's why I reached out and found Daisy, and we started this amazing podcast that is now in 51 countries. We're super, super proud of it. And it's really a conversation where I represent the audience and Daisy's our expert, and we really give easy to implement reality-based life tips to help people with their mental health on a day-to-day basis. So we really love doing it, and we really love guesting on other people's shows to share our stories. So thanks for having us.
Yeah, I'm very happy to have you. I really am. And I wanted to just ask you a question. You just said that you are there to support and to help others.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
So how do you mean? Like, what does that mean for you?
Well, in my world, that means coaching people in business and mindset. I'm a trained transformative coach as well as a qualified management accountant, have been for about 20 years. So that's, I guess, where I put my skills to use the most. And I also have a social enterprise called the Bold Warrior Movement, which spreads awareness of alopecia, which is an autoimmune disease causing hair loss that I've had since I was 8 years old. So my platform's all about raising awareness and educating people and inspiring those people that do have alopecia to feel better about themselves and to be able to take control back over this disease, which hits anyone anywhere, regardless of age or gender, and can be quite traumatic. So my experience has been
you know, my own trauma and overcoming it and growing my own mental health skills to have a better, happier life, which led me into creating the Bald Warrior Movement to help other people and to publish books around my story, which led me to wanting to do a podcast to reach more people, which is how I reached out to Daisy and found Daisy, who I believe complements me perfectly because she has the expertise that I don't really have. So I get to represent the everyday folk who are struggling with stuff, and I come up with the topics, and then we have really great conversations that I think have helped many, many people in many, many countries now. We're super stoked how well it's going.
I understand that. And how would you respond to that, Daisy, in terms of how you're complimenting Katie?
Well, Kathy and I, we are just like the pot and the lid. We are the perfect fit. So, and good things cooking inside. So that's how I would say. Thank you very much for your invitation to your show. I truly appreciate. So tonight we have an international kind of a three-way conversation here because I'm originally from Germany. Kathy actually is originally from New Zealand, but she lives in Australia since years. Mm-hmm. And so I'm half German, half Hungarian. So I think we're quite international tonight. And I appreciate your invite to the show. Thank you. No. How I would respond to Kathy's compliments, I would say that we were really meant to find one another. I don't know how things work in the other world or how it works really energetically. I don't have proof for it, so I don't even approach it that way. What I believe in my personal life is a different story. But when we work in the podcast, we're really reality-based tools that we offer, and everything is backed by science, not by me. I don't do studies. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a psychologist. What I had the fortune was that I was able to study with some leaders in this industry, some very, very fine people. And
so, let me interrupt you. Would you say that your specialization, though, is more focused on an intuitive energy?
Not at all.
And then what is it? How would you define it?
Well, I do believe that the combination of the many methodologies that I studied and learned around the globe, I realized what works and what doesn't work for me and what doesn't work and what does work for most of the clients I work with. And then what I did, I created my own mixture in 2008 and I call it self-recoding, meaning that people can give themselves a new coding because who am I to recode you? So I mean that in a humble way.
Yeah, I think this is very interesting that you have this trademark name of recoding when my book that's coming out is Reset. Mm-hmm. So there's a recode, a reset, you know, there's a real feeling of similarity. And
yeah, sure.
Yeah, a sense that we're on the same page and we just may be coming at what we're actually advocating and supporting for others in a very different way.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I do believe that everything is stored in the subconscious mind. And when we start having access to it consciously or subconsciously, that there's a big possibility to do some recoding and really kind of implement some very healthy tools. And when we make peace with the subconscious mind or within the subconscious mind, then the outcomes necessarily as a consequent will change as well. So nothing can change in the outside when it's not coming from the inside. That's what I believe humbly.
Yeah. So Kathy, you probably can relate to that. Nothing can change on the outside unless it's changing on the inside. After you just mentioned having that trauma when you were young and then learning how to process that, can you like maybe expand upon that a little bit?
Sure. So my first trauma, I guess, was my sister died of leukemia when I was 8 years old. And I never really emotionally dealt with that. It kind of just got pushed down. And about 12 months later, my hair started falling out very randomly, very out of the blue. And I lived in a small town in Australia, so nobody knew what was going on with me. We had to travel a really long way to find doctors. And we spent many years trying to seek answers and remedies. Mm. And to my parents' credit, they tried every doctor / specialist / alternative practitioner that they could find. But the one thing they didn't do was address my mental health around it. Now we're talking 40 years ago. So yeah. It was a whole different societal norm around mental health. It wasn't really spoken about or nurtured the way it is today. Counseling wasn't really even a thing that parents did in our culture anyway. So my mental health continued to deteriorate, even though we kept looking for these solutions, which of course there are none, because there is no cure for alopecia. It's an autoimmune disease and it is genetic. And strikes with no rhyme or reason. The doctors have not figured it out whatsoever. All they've figured it out is that there's 13 genes responsible, and they don't know any more than that, other than it's triggered by different trauma. Mm-hmm. So I spent my childhood, my teenage years, my 20s and my 30s pretty much suppressing my trauma. And there were kind of other traumas after the alopecia started. My father also died. My grandparents died. My auntie died. My other auntie had brain tumors. And so there was a lot of sort of unexpected illness in the family. Then my stepfather died as well. Over those years, my mental health kind of just got put over here, and I just focused on my professional life, and I had a son by now, so I focused on bringing him up. And on the surface, I looked quite happy, but there was some deep pain that really never got healed, that kind of just got put in a box and put away. And until I was in a toxic relationship and left him, and I realized that I had all this trauma I hadn't dealt with, and then I started bringing it out and looking at it and starting to heal myself. Had I met Daisy 8 years ago when I started doing that, it probably would have been a much faster process, because I have worked with Daisy now, and I've had her work with my mum for several months too, and she does get much faster results than certainly trying to figure it out on your own does, or seeing traditional types of counsellors. So it's really an interesting conversation around what type of therapy works for what person. And I'm certainly no expert there, but I would attest to Daisy's blend of modalities being super, super effective in a really short time. And they've certainly helped me over the last 18 months, leaps and bounds, which has been amazing.
Okay, so first of all, anyone who's listening who would like to call in, we're speaking about trauma, we're speaking about healing, we're speaking about mental health 360. I'm Dr. Susan Lindner, and we're with Kathy and with Daisy from Bold and Blonde, a very famous podcast. Very good podcast. The number is 888-627-6808. Okay, that's 888-627-6808. So if anybody wants to call in, they can. Now, Daisy, let me just back up for a moment. And if anyone wants to email after the show, if listening to it, you can email me at info@keepinglifereal.com. And I have a website, keepinglifereal.com. And there's some other websites connected to that, which sort of integrates many different domains of mental health functioning from both a physiological and a spiritual and a sociological and then a personal perspective. And this is why I call the show 360. So we're looking at mental health, not just from one domain, but we're looking at instead the whole gestalt, the pie, not just the piece of the pie, the whole pie. And then how does that all integrate in together, right? That's the goal. And please make sure you plug your website also along the way here. So Daisy, how would you respond to Kathy's disclosures about having, if she had found you sooner, that she feels that she would have healed faster. And there's a part of me that I want, before I comment on, I'll give you a heads up. I'm thinking, well, maybe you weren't ready to find Daisy. And if you had found her perhaps 8 years prior, maybe you wouldn't have been ready, because whatever it was that you went through during that time before meeting Daisy maybe brought you right to that point where you were finally ready. And maybe not. Maybe it's her modality. So Daisy, tell us a little bit about how you supported Kathy on her journey of trauma that she says was truly, absolutely transformational for her. How did you do that? What is this recoding process that you're doing?
Self-recoding? Well, what it does, it's very simple. It sounds simple, and it is simple, but it has a lot of ingredients that it's just if you go to a five-star restaurant and you ask the chef, so really, how do you do that? You have this fantastic dish, and it looks good, and it tastes good, and it feels good, and it digests so easily. So I don't think that it's possible that, first of all, the chef is not going to give you the recipe. That's number one. I'm giving out recipes to counselors and psychologists who want to learn with me or who want to study with me. So I have people who sign up for that. Nevertheless, so what it is, I would love to give it to you if I could. I would just detach my little pen drive out of my brain and we can upload it to someone else's. That's not how it works, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Well, when I met Kathy, she was already in a very good shape and form, like in her mental state and in her ambition and in her, I would say, overall being. Nevertheless, I do believe that there are, as you mentioned, some parts and pieces within us that may not be ready to heal yet. And I agree on that. Nevertheless, so when her and I met and we started our conversations and we started off with our podcast, it became clear that when she had some thoughts or something that would hurt her or something that would come up, that she turns to me. And of course, I help her. She can call me at 3 a.m. and I will be here for her. First of all, it's my passion to help people. And secondly, I love Kathy from the bottom of my heart. And we became truly family for one another in a non-bloody way. Let's put it that way. And well, the Bald and Blonde podcast actually describes quite well what self-coding is doing in tiny little snippets, because it's all reality-based. It's all backed by science. It's not anything woo-woo. It's not like analytical, like 100 years ago or even longer. It's very contemporary. And so what it does, it is, if you imagine yourself having an emotional closet, it cleans out the emotional closet. We just have a look. What is it that we want to keep? What is it that we can recycle? What is it we want to discard or just really delete or just throw away forever? And then we have that empty space. And once we have that empty space, and only when we have that empty space in our emotional closet, that's how I believe humbly,
yes,
that we have space to put something new in there. And then what I do, I help people to, my clients from around the world, and Kathy in this specific, in her story that she just mentioned, to put some really powerful tools in there that are so logical, so easy to understand and emotionally charged that it is, and not even to mention what's happening neurobiologically, because when it's fun to learn and when it's emotionally kind of moving you, then everything in your brain switches on and you just want more and more and more, because that's your new cocktail that you can become accustomed to. So to make it very short, what is actually a lengthy description of something very simple, we're making the unfamiliar familiar, and we make the familiar unfamiliar. So the bad stuff is going to just go away, and we just put in there things that were not taught in school. I have clients who come from 30 years of therapy to me, and they say, Daisy, you know, where were you all my life? Yeah. Because they could have another mansion there on, you know, one of these private islands around here. So it, yeah, is.
Let me interrupt you for a moment. What you're describing from a psychological and a mental health perspective is called the impasse. So when you are sharing that you are helping your clients to basically discharge toxic emotions, toxic thoughts, old feelings that really serve them no purpose any longer. So that's the discharge. They're discharging, right, what they no longer need, and it's no longer serving them well. Yeah. So then when you also say that there's this empty space, this is, I have to tell you, in traditional mental health therapy, this mental space, this open space, this hole, a void, if you will, inside of oneself is usually the hardest part of therapy for a patient to tolerate. Because we call this the impasse, yeah? So the impasse is a process of when a patient discharges and finally shares and lets go of this trauma. There's a huge relief affectively. There's a lot of emotions attached to it. And somehow through this process of discharge, there is a more internal harmony and an equilibrium internally. There's a nice equilibrium. And yet, patients at this juncture will say they don't know what to do with this because there's this empty space. They let go of a lot of things, but now they're wondering, how am I going to fill it up? And I will say that this is a broad-based, overbroad generalization, but many people often want to rush and fill up that hole because they're so uncomfortable with sitting with the unknown, waiting to see like what's going to happen, or using your language, Daisy, how are they going to recode? So walk me through that process for a moment of when you have helped a patient using mental health language to discharge and they have this space. Tell me about that piece and that transition that you would consider recoding. And if I'm understanding it correctly, that you consider that the healing piece of this.
Well, as I'm not a therapist and not a psychologist, I cannot call it healing, and I do not call it healing. What I do, I help them heal their world so that they can do, because they're allowed to do that, and I'm allowed to state that officially. And so it is what I heard you describe, that it's very uncomfortable when people have this empty space. I never experienced that with my clients. I have not ever heard them, oh, now I feel so uncomfortable. I never had that. So we just let it go. We let go of the pain, because the moment when we unlink the emotional charge to any emotional memory, when we unlink it, then there's nothing that holds up the pictures anymore from the past. There's nothing that holds up these mean, hurtful words that we were told, or that painful experience physically when it was a physical experience.
So, Kathy, at this juncture, how, when you were using my language, discharging and getting to this point that Daisy's speaking about of having an empty space, where do you remember that? Was this like a moment that stands out for you?
It's an interesting question, because at the time that I sort of did this work on myself, I was also a new empty nester. My son had just left home. I just got divorced. And so perhaps there was some sort of void there. But I filled it with friendship and love and people that cared about me. And as I learnt more, one of the big realizations I had was I had to learn to be okay with uncertainty. Right. And something that had driven me through my younger life and my professional life was the need to control things, because it gave me a safety net. It made me feel like I had some say over this nutty life and all these things that were happening to me. And so I think that uncertainty and fear are really huge issues that need to be discussed. And we made very early episodes about them because of that. And I think that one of the best things that you can learn for yourself, audience out there, is to learn to deal with uncertainty and let go of the need to control everything. And for me, that came back to my own personal faith system.
Yes, I understand what you're saying. And let me just let me correct myself. If anyone wants to call in, the number is correctly this time, 888-627-6008. Okay, that's 888-627-6008. So, Kathy, you mentioned some really fantastic points here, letting go of the control and letting go of the fear. And I wanted to ask you, were there any other feelings attached to this that you would have classified as either feelings of guilt or shame or remorse? Was there anything packaged in that at all? In the uncertainty and in the fear and the need for control?
I've never really been one for doing guilt. It's never been an affliction of mine. So I'm naturally lucky that way, perhaps. However, shame was a giant presence my whole life because social norms taught me that beautiful had hair. And I didn't have hair from 8 years old. And so this shame did build up inside me and it did become overwhelming. And I did wear wigs for 30 years to fit into societal norms. And part of the shedding of my old self and the relearning and the healing was to remove that. I stopped wearing them around 40, 41. And it took a while to get used to it and be okay with it, but I reimagined myself and reformed my own version of beauty for myself so I could let go of the shame that had sort of been building over my life. So I think that a lot of people would have one of those kind of feelings sort of deep set in them if they've had trauma like me and not dealt with it for a really long time, because it does kind of get wired into you.
Yes, it does.
Without you really even realizing it.
it definitely does. And it's interesting because when you are saying that you were dealing with shame, that sort of connects with why was there so much control, right? Because you, if you can control the external variables, then you feel that you, what happens is that internally you think that you're minimizing that feeling of shame. But as you stated really quite poignantly about a little while ago, you actually were just like letting it, you were squashing it down and pushing it down. So finally you get to the place working with Daisy and you're saying, okay, like you're addressing the shame and you're addressing the need for control and you're addressing the uncertainty and the fear of it all. And understandably, it was, I can imagine it have been being a very precarious and fearful few moments here and there, despite your excellent work with Daisy.
Yeah, so the journey kind of began probably 6 years before I met Daisy. So it was a long process because I was doing it on my own. I actually didn't have a therapist at any point. Mm-hmm. I figured all this out from self-learning, from reading, from videos, from finding my own way and figuring out my values and my beliefs and how I thought about myself and what I now thought about social norms. And that was the kind of path I took because I'm a very logic-based person as an accountant. I kind of use that intellectual knowledge to do this self-talk and to kind of bring out the emotions a little bit of a time so I could deal with them. There was a lot of behind the scenes, meltdowns going on, but I very rarely did that with anybody else because I had no trust in anybody either. That's another consequence. It was a very interesting journey in the years before I met Daisy. But, you know, I had probably dealt with a great deal of this stuff and was at a pretty good place. Yeah. But then Daisy and I sort of together in doing the podcast, like every podcast is a lesson for me because she always comes up with this sort of like, concept of the subject I want to talk about and makes me really think about it. And then I question her and together we kind of come to this understanding that we share with our audience. And in that process, I have cleaned out more stuff, besides the work we do one-on-one, and, mm-hmm. and learned so much, not only about myself, but about the greater world and about interacting, about rebuilding trust, about having better communication. I am super grateful that I found Daisy, because it's like I've been climbing this mountain my whole life, and now I feel like we're kind of at the top, and now we get to help other people too, yeah, and not take 30 years, which is super exciting.
So Daisy, help me understand and tell me about that piece that helped Kathy get over that hump that brought you to this place before the podcast. So tell me a little bit from your experience working with her. What was that you actually did to help her recode using your language?
I do believe that one, it is too broad. The question is too broad to just generally answer it, but I can pick one of the topics that you just discussed before that Kathy mentioned that she didn't trust anybody. And if I heard you correctly, Susan, you mentioned, but she trusted herself. And I disagree with that, because she didn't trust anybody else because she couldn't trust herself. And once she learned how to trust herself, now she knows how to choose people who are those that she can trust. And therefore, she can be so free out in the world there. We have people from 51 countries. You can imagine, we're out there online. You can find us anywhere and everywhere if you want or not. If you Google her name, if you Google my name, it's us. And the baldandblonde.live actually has a website and or the podcast platform, Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution. You can find us anywhere and everywhere. And yes, she has zero fear anymore, yes, when it comes to being out there. Now, how did she do that? I didn't do it. I appreciate her giving me compliments and her appreciation. I didn't do it. She did the self-recoding. Why? Because she learned how to trust herself. Now, there are very simple steps that you can take, how to learn how to trust yourself. And I actually wrote a book about it. Well, it's not... Okay, let me rephrase that. I wrote a book in which there it's quite described how you can learn to trust yourself, but the book itself is about something much bigger. It's about love, the formula for finding true love. And that is really, that's groundbreaking. And it's sold in over 50 countries today. And there it's in the process of being translated into the German translation is ready. It's being edited and formatted, and it's in the process of being translated into Spanish. And we're going language by language to help more people. Because here's the thing, you can have the greatest CEO, or you can have the greatest housewife, or the most wonderful teenager sitting at home, no matter which culture, no matter which religion, which faith, which background, no matter, or which continent. And there are universal needs that we all humans have, the 9 universal needs. I use my work much in regard of that. And when we go and have a look through that angle and then give them back their own power so that they can be independent from external judgment, because who's the other person to judge me? Who are they? Actually, they are speaking about their own perception. They're speaking about their own emotional state, and how they perceive me has nothing to do with me, because I show you my cup here and I may consider it beautiful and you can call it, oh, this looks ugly and this is useless. It doesn't change the cup. So therefore... therefore, when I help people, even teenagers, you know, or people in the high school, the kiddos in the high school who I care tremendously for, it is so important that they can absolutely disconnect themselves and take their power back.
Okay, so let's do this. So for the people who are listening to this, okay, let's provide our listeners with some real concrete good resources, yeah? So what would be those steps that are in your book for love, but what are those steps that you're speaking about in terms of, what did you say, that it was trusting yourself, or did you have steps in terms of listening to yourself?
No, trust, it's all about trust. Without trust, you have nothing in life.
So what are the steps? If we had somebody listening today and they're like, okay, well, she's telling us how she's helping this one and that one, but what is she doing? Help me operationalize it.
Well, I do believe that it has to do with behavior. When I do not trust my own behavior, then how can I trust anyone else? So it's really a challenge. You put me in a challenge here to put a book that's 300 pages, to put it here in one sentence. I would love to fulfill your need for an answer. I'm doing my best. Well, It really has to do with the inside. And I go back to the emotional closet, because when we clean out our hurts, our past experiences, the old judgments, the old shame, the old resentment, the remorse, maybe the guilt and shame that I did something I should have not do. So when I forgive myself in this regard, and there are tools that are very fast and very to the point. And
what are those tools? Tell us what those tools are.
Okay, well, it's in self-recoding. There, like, it's like about 50 different modalities. You're asking me for a recipe. For example, what I'm using, well, you can not only use visualizations, of course, you can use parts and pieces from Gestalt therapy, which, yeah, I'm very familiar with, although I'm not a Gestalt therapist. There are parts and pieces that can be used from NLP. There are parts and pieces, yeah, from EMDR. There are parts and pieces from TFT, from EFT, from faster EFT. There are parts and pieces from, I don't even know, EMDR. I said that already.
Stop you. Let me ask you if you and I are on the same page, okay?
Aren't we?
I believe we are.
And I think
I think we are. And I think our language is different. And I always like to show a client, a patient, somebody who's listening, I always like to show them that there are many different ways and different angles to look at perhaps the same piece of paper, right?
But that's
right. We can describe this in many, many different ways.
I agree 100%. Yeah?
So just sort of pulling together what you and Kathy are saying, if I'm hearing this correctly, there is an acknowledgement that there's stuff inside that has to come out, if I'm hearing this correctly. And then there has to be almost like an assessment of what you want to keep and what you don't want to keep and what you're willing to let go of and what you're holding on to, maybe like just a little bit.
Right? I agree. Nevertheless, oftentimes it's not conscious.
It's not conscious. Exactly. So this is where I think you and I are the same, although I don't directly tell my clients when they come in for like a first session, I don't directly tell them that I'm going to be using your body to help, that your body is speaking to you and it will speak to us and it will guide us. But this is true. When it's not conscious, I will say to a patient, I'll say, well, where are you feeling this? Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%, because the body mind connection is inevitable.
Correct.
And that is absolutely, I'm using that a lot. And then of course the tapping modalities, they are just genius, because.
Well, before you go to tapping, I think, yeah, the piece here is pulling in then what Kathy was saying. And Kathy, I really loved how you really cognitively reframed what you were and were not going to tolerate, accept, or keep any longer. When you said you reframe, you didn't use the word, but I would use the word reframe, that you were reframing how you perceived what you would and would not consider in terms of how you're defining whether it's beauty, social norms, what's acceptable, what isn't. So you reframed and you redirected your thoughts, which I think is key. Because yes, it's very important to help the emotion discharge, but there needs to be a connection between the mind and the spirit. So when the two are aligned and there's harmony, yeah, there is really like a true and meaningful transformation. I don't want to use the word healing either, but a real shift in consciousness, a shift in being, a shift in just one sense of what you said earlier, Daisy, one's empowerment and one's feeling of autonomy and capacity and competencies, yeah? So when you get to that place, after you redirect and reframe, Daisy, I love what you're saying is, how are you gonna get to this? Okay, Kathy redirects, she reframes, she says, okay, I'm done with this, I've let it go, now what? So now you go into what you're sharing with me in terms of some of your, recoding.
The self-recoding, yeah, the many ingredients. Because
the tapping or the EMT or, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, no, these modalities are used, this is how I'm utilizing them, to let go of the emotional charge to anything that's holding us back. Because I can consciously make a plan. Okay, so tomorrow I start going running. I go and start running. But if I'm emotionally having still something that's holding me back, I will never go and make the first step to run. Or I may not even put on my socks, and I'm not even talking about the running shoes. So there are so many deeper layers. And when we do not reach these deep layers, then we will not be able to have a different outcome. That's my humble belief.
I agree with
how far I've gotten today.
I agree with
and
you.
And I would throw in there too that, like we mentioned before, people aren't always ready straight away, you know. And I'm the queen of self-sabotage, and I'll be the first to
admit anymore.
Well, I kind of I do it a little bit occasionally because, you know, I don't like following rules. I don't like doing what everybody else does. I don't like, you know, I see all these people that, you know, say they're successful and they do the yoga and I have a gratitude journal. I'm like, nah, I'm not doing any of that shit. Because I just don't like doing what everybody else does. So, you know, people will self-sabotage, and even the most evolved person, I believe, still does it sometimes, occasionally. Yeah. You know, let's face it, procrastination is a self-sabotage. And let's put our hands up if we're guilty of that occasionally, right, ladies? So, you know, everybody is not always ready at the same time. And that's been really important in my learning because, you know, when I threw the wicks away, I was so gung-ho against them that it was probably too far the other way. And I've kind of had to pull myself back and go, okay, Kathy, calm down. Not everybody's ready to just shave their head and own their alopecia. And I've recognized that everybody is sort of on a different point in that journey because alopecia is a very personal thing. Yeah. And a lot of it depends on your environment and your coping skills and your family support and da, 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 da. And so I've calmed down a bit and recognized that. And it's now enough for me to be the face and go, well, if she can do it, then maybe I can do it too. And then when they're ready, they will come to me. So that's been a big evolvement in, you know, my being able to help other people was to not be too full on either, because we can go the other way, right? When we really want to help them and we can see the answer. And I finally got this freedom from this stupid disease that has controlled my life. And I just want to give it to you. And they're like, whoa. So super interesting, right?
Very interesting. Yeah. So, you know, Daisy, even though you are not a clinician and you're not a psychologist and you're not trained specifically in one modality, you have put together so many really fantastic coping strategies and interventions to pull this together to help people truly find their voice. Yeah.
Absolutely, yes. Not only their voice, but their passion and their peace and their their purpose and what their being, the life.
Let me ask you: is there ever is there ever anyone that comes to you and you feel that they are not ready?
No, usually when people come to me, they are ready because they either heard me on the podcast or they heard me on another show or they read some of my books or, you know, they found me online. So usually when they call me to inquire, then they are ready. Yeah. What happens is that usually what they are amazed by is that after the first session, they already feel so much better that they say, oh, I can't believe this happened. So then they try to hold on and reconstruct what we just released. Yeah. And they are usually not succeeding in reconstructing that. And then they call me and they say, is that normal that it's all gone? And now, so it's, you know, Daisy, I know I signed up for a 90-minute session. Okay, I know you spent with me an extra 30 minutes. I always go over time. That's my gift to my clients. And I love doing that. And so, and then they say, is that normal that it's now got, maybe my problem wasn't that big. So now then now it turns around and then they realize, oh, maybe now it wasn't even that bad. So especially men have that, the male of the species, they have the tendency not to generalize, but they have the tendency then to later on justify that the problem wasn't even that bad. And I'm okay with that because for me, main case is that, okay, I'm glad that they're helped after, let's say, 5 years, 10 years of talk therapy or whatever they've tried to do and popping pills and doing all kind of interesting coping mechanisms that are rather holding them back. And then they start being in their masculine self and they feel like, you know, Rocky Balboa and King Kong in one thing. And they are just, they think they can conquer the world. And actually they do. And that's just so joyful to see. Yeah.
That's really lovely. Do you happen to me? We have just a little bit of time. And so we don't have too much time to reference this. And if you, it's okay with you, Kathy. Do you remember that transitional point though, Daisy, for Kathy, when she spent that hour and a half, 2 hours with you? And
I'm not clear which specific point you're pointing at.
I guess the first time, Kathy, do you know what I'm asking? Like the first time perhaps you met with Daisy and did you have the first time like this aha moment?
You know, so much has happened in the last couple of years that I don't sort of retain those things. You know, what does really stick out for me though was a discussion that we had for our audience before the podcast was even live around hope. Can I recount that, Daisy? Because this was quite instrumental for me. I based a lot of my belief system on the belief that hope was a thing that was real and could drive me and could keep me going through a lot of despairing times. Like I was a single mother along all that other trauma I had. And so hope was something that I relied on. And we got into this conversation.
Was that with Danny? I think it was in my Facebook group,
I think it was. And we're talking about hope and Daisy's like, no, hope's no good. You don't want to have hope. And I'm like, hang on. Hang on now. What? And she blew my mind with this concept because on the flip side of hope is fear. And I'm like, oh, that was such a revelation for me to realize that hope was so connected to fear. And I'm all about living fearlessly, right? Like this, it's one of my big things. So this was mind blowing for me. And that led into a discussion about belief and believing instead of hoping, because it was so much more positive and so much more concrete. And it was transformational for me, that concept, you know, intellectually, but it really hit me. My whole ethos was transformed with that one conversation. And I know that it really impacted with our audience as well. And so that's the thing I remember out of everything. All the other stuff, it's just sort of part of me now. So I have no like highlight I can share with you.
Yeah. On the other side, so from my point of view, I do recall a few very, very sweet, very deep sessions we had and that were very cleansing, I believe, and that were lifting some stuff out of your emotional closet. And I feel honored that Kathy is open and trusts me with this. So and so am I for everyone who's listening to our podcast, The Bald and Blonde, and
yes,
and to all my clients or readers of my books. And I feel very humbled that people find it helpful and it impacts
them.
Well,
I think I look a few of your podcasts together and the two of you are such a dynamic team. And I have to tell you that the authenticity of caring for one another and for each other's journey in life is just, it's really quite compelling. And I really understand why the podcast is just like starting to skyrocket. Because there is a real, as you said, Kathy, in the very beginning, you're like, by the end of a podcast, you get off the podcast, you finish it, and you feel like either another little light bulb went on or you learned a little something. And what Daisy had shared with me actually yesterday or the day before when we were speaking is that she feels also when she's working with clients, she herself is getting something back in return.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So it's very interesting that when you give, you also get.
That's that. The beauty of it is when it is in that perpetual balance, giving and receiving, and it's like teaching and learning. I believe that we are all teachers and students at the same time, because there is no such person in this world that's smart enough to always teach and always be right. And there's not a person that's not smart enough to always learn and only remain the student. I do believe when we respect that, because the level of respect is, I believe, one of the fundamentals of trust. So when we start, I'd say, increasing the respect, and that's, again, that's in the formula for finding true love. There you can read it, the 5 + 2 steps. It's respect, admiration, consideration, dignity, empathy, having a word and following through in a timely manner, which actually is, it brings you so clearly to your mind, oh, I now understand why it never worked. Like in any relationships, it can be platonic, can be business relations, can be communities, can be intimate relationships, marriages. It's very interesting. And the light bulbs and the grateful letters that I'm receiving, I'm very humbled. So then thank you, Susan, for your time, and thank you for your invitation.
You know, maybe down the road, we could all meet again together. And I've been receiving emails from real clients, real people that have questions about their mental health. And I think with your perspective, and there is a lightheartedness about the connection, Daisy, that you have with Kathy and vice versa. And I have to be very honest with you, the way I'm feeling right now, I'll share it in the moment, is that this connection between the both of you is, it's very like, even myself, I'm like, it's very like easy, you know? I can just sit here and we can be, and we're listening and we're processing and clarifying. And it's just very nice, very in the moment in terms of our humanity and in understanding and respecting one another. And, you know, we're all on the same planet, but this has been a great show for me. And I would like to bring you both back on. Maybe next time I would bring in some of those mental health questions. And then from your perspective and slant, maybe we could answer those questions together. It would be a little bit of a different type of show, but maybe that's something that we could talk about down the road.
Sure. It will be my honor. And thank you so much. And I appreciate your kindness as well. And actually, to our listeners, or to your listeners, to your audience out there, this is very possible. Conversations and communications and exchange can happen very simply once we know how. And that's, again, that's where I'm referring to the 5 + 2, to the love formula, because anyone can learn it. And I'm working on it really, and with like a bulldozer, I'm unstoppable with that, to start teaching it in school so that we can have a very different upbringing for the younger generation.
Okay, so for our audience, the number, if you want to call in next week or in 2 weeks, actually, it's 888-627-6008. And if you'd like to send me an email, you can look at my website. It's www.keepinglifereal.com. You can send an email to info@keepinglifereal. And also, just give us a quick plug, Kathy or Daisy, how can the audience find you other than the podcast? Of Bold and Blonde podcast. How else can they find you?
Very, very easy. Just boldandblonde.live is our website. Or go to social media, search Bold and Blonde, search Daisy Papp, search Kathy Tate. You'll find us. We're super easy to find. We're out there. The logo's always red, so look out
for the red and switch on your favorite podcast listening platform, because we are literally on all of them.
Yes. Yes. And we are bald and blonde from down under to the Florida Keys, and we are embracing the world. And we do that with much, much love for everyone.
Lady, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Really, really. I send you tremendous light and love from afar.
Thank you. We just sent that back to you.
Thank you very much. It was really my pleasure. Wonderful. Thank you so much for being on my show.
Thank you, Susan. We stay in touch. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.